This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, Katrina, I hope you can hear us. Okay, she's connecting. Shall we wait? Did she connect? Oh, and we have Alice as well connecting.
All right, we seem to have Alice, and we now seem to have Catherine.
Hi, good evening. Hello, everyone. Sorry I'm late. This is Catherine.
Thank you. All right, let us begin. Do we normally do roll call for these meetings?
Considering it's the leadership call, not really.
Okay.
It's mostly for the plenary call.
All right. The first item on the agenda is to review a number of documents. The first is the subgroups matrix. Has that changed since we looked at it last week at the meeting?
It has been updated just after the meeting, I believe, and we shared the new version just after the plenary call. So what you have on screen is the latest version. And Lisa, please.
Thanks. There were just two changes made after the meeting. One was to add Carlton to, I believe it was outreach, that he volunteered to bring that up to three,
mm-hmm.
and then add Lily under the internationalization item. But those were the only changes, and there have been no other comments that I've seen.
All right, that's good. We're going to have to figure out how to actually kick off the work, but the matrix looks fine. Next item is scope and objectives. How are we doing on that one? I know I have pulled out the print and printed the documents, but I haven't really had a chance to look at them in any depth. Is there anything that you think needs our decision, or are you just showing us the copy for hoping that it is what we all agree to?
Lisa, go ahead.
Again, this is Lisa. The document was just updated as a result of discussion on the last plenary call. I think there were just a few minor edits to wording, for example, under the last few rows here, changing the wording regarding, instead of meeting legitimate needs of promoting consumer trust, it just now is whether the implementation promotes consumer trust, et cetera. So those were the changes from the last plenary call. The only two things that really need attention are the two objectives that have open action items. One is Alan, Erica, and myself to suggest a refinement to the OECD item. And Alan, I know you're aware that you should suggested some text for that. I guess we're waiting for any response from Erica on that before sharing it with the full review team. And then the other was a possible new objective related to looking at the bylaws themselves and whether there were any amendments needed to it. And Alan, I know you just now, just maybe 2 hours ago, I sent you some suggested text, and you just now sent a reply. I guess the question is whether you feel that's ready then to share with the full team on the plenary call this week.
I think so. The wording you did was almost perfect. I just changed one word edits to amendments because edits had already been covered in the edits to additions rather, because edits had already been mentioned essentially by saying amendments. And I thought the last sentence was just a little bit unclear in that it wasn't clear that the rationale should apply to any changes we make. So that may need a small amount of tweaking, but I think it's good enough to send out.
So would you, this is Lisa again, would you like us to actually apply those two changes to this document so we have one consolidated document to bring up on the plenary call?
I would think so, and on the one OECD, you could put in the, you know, where you have the yellow and the green, you know, pending review by Erica or something like that, if she hasn't answered quickly. But I see no reason not to send it out. It's probably close to what we're looking to look at, and we might as well let everyone see it.
Great.
So I think we're getting, hopefully getting pretty close. If there's nothing else on that one, the next one is the first pass on the first pass planning document. And I'm not sure I remember which document that is. Ah, okay. So this is essentially documenting each of the task groups. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Alice?
If you're speaking, Alice, we can't hear you.
You're on mute, maybe, Alice.
Yeah, I was having trouble getting off mute, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, so this is in response to the request we received from Catherine during the Brussels meeting. I think Catherine was looking for a document that would help subgroups identify what they need to conduct their work and sort of plan their work out, have a sort of a roadmap. So we assembled this first draft as a draft for your consideration, and obviously this can be expanded and augmented as needed. We wanted to get something out to you as soon as possible. So I'm not sure if Catherine's had a chance to read it yet. But Catherine, if you have any initial thoughts, it'd be great.
Right. Thank you very much, Alice. I've just had a time to do a quick review today, but it looks like a very good start. So thanks very much for providing this. I think the main element that I would be looking for still is something defining precisely what will be the actual work that the subgroup would do, because on this first pass, what I understood the task to be was to sort of identify what is the scope of this precise point that we want the review team to focus on, and what exactly is needed to get there. So to sort of estimate the workload on this, to estimate which efforts would be required on the part of which actors to be able to help us advance to the position where we can make a final recommendation on this, and how do we go about this. And I think this already looks farther ahead to the actual review team report and sets out the whole schedule for everybody. And I think now we just need to work on the points where there will be basically different decisions for different review points relating to the different, the different workload that is required to actually address them. Because if you look at something like, has ICANN provided an annual report on implementation of OMU's policy, then that's something that we can probably already take care of in this first pass. Whereas there's other things such as, does the OMU's in its current form meet legitimate needs? That's going to take a bit more work. And I think we should work on capturing this in the template, on making sure that these differences can be highlighted and made transparent so that we can then deploy the adequate resources for each of the points that we need to cover. And I'll make some written comments on this. That might be the most helpful thing, unless Alan and Susan, you want to have a quick chat on this now.
It's Alan. Just a couple of comments. As you pointed out, the range of of work that's going to be needed on some of these ranges from an almost cursory, yes, they did it, and maybe a couple of further comments and no further recommendations to, in the extreme, things like the major compliance work, which is going to require substantive work and substantive effort over a probably somewhat extended period of time. So I don't want to make the process of filling out the form for the simple case harder than doing the actual work. But I have no problem, identifying the kind of things you're talking about, where they're applicable. But I think any comments you can make on it and direction will help us significantly. You obviously have a good picture in your mind of what you're looking for, and I'm not sure I do. So I guess I'd like to see further work from you on it, on suggesting what is missing, what kinds of things are missing, and try to put some
flesh
to that.
Right. So I appreciate, Alan, that you already can basically help us judge what work is needed, and what I was looking for was a bit less than that. It was just to basically create a template that would spur the different subgroups to ask themselves these questions. So to basically go through the right exercise for all of the different topics that we've identified as being within scope. So to prompt them to basically ask a number of the questions that are already on there, but maybe a bit more than that. How many review team members should be working on this? How much time do we think it would take, or how much effort? And if we can't estimate the hours, then maybe we can sort of do a scale from, 1 to 10 in terms of workloads that is estimated to be associated with a given task. So I think that's a bit what I was looking for in the template, in terms of making sure that all the different little teams that we've now put together try and address the same questions, or try and address the same questions in a coherent manner, rather. I hope that clarifies. I'm happy to try and provide a few comments, and then Susan and Alan, if you have further ideas on how we could make this the best possible before sharing it with the different teams, that would be really helpful.
Okay. Thank you, Catherine. Susan?
So, Catherine, I appreciate the thought you put into this, and I do think that's a good idea if we can do this without, sort of boiling the ocean, which I don't think that's what you're recommending we do anyhow. But I do like the idea that each sub-team is given the same sort of parameters and template to review, do a high level review or analysis of what it's going to take to get that work done. So, though I'm off the top of my head, don't have any ideas on how to take some of these, the criteria and put it into a template. So if you have something to share, I would be more than happy to work on that with you.
Thank you, Susan. Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Lisa. I suggest that one place that you might start is actually looking at the table of resources on the second page of this, because really those are questions for the review team to answer, the subset of review team that's assigned to each item. Really they're questions, for example, what briefings will the team need? What materials will the team need from ICANN? What interviews will need to be conducted? Will there be a need for independent experts? And if so, what kind of experts for what reason? So you could easily start with the resources that are listed here and sort of turn them into questions. And then what I hear you say is that there are additional questions that you'd like to ask around effort and resourcing and how to organize your work. But I think that could follow on pretty naturally to those other questions as well. The workforce timeline is much longer than this first pass planning effort, but I believe that it was included in this document to give each of the teams a sense of sort of where we're headed during the first phase of the review itself. so that people understand all the steps that are potentially involved, which obviously goes beyond your first pass planning effort, but it's there to give everyone the same insight into the process that will be that you'll be following.
Thank you, Lisa. Anyone else? I guess in line with what Catherine said about, you know, different magnitudes for different things and what I said, I suspect, and I'm not trying to dictate how it will go, but I suspect we're going to find out that at least a few of the recommendations we will be able to identify to what extent we think the job was done, to what extent it was effective, and whether there's any additional work, if there isn't any additional work perceived, we may be able to get some of those ticked off in this first phase and reduce the scope of what we have to do in the major work. And to the extent that we can do that reasonably, I think that would be a good thing. We have a large number of tasks on our overall list, and if we can remove any of them at this point, which clearly will need final drafting and consensus of the work group, but to the extent that we can remove some of them and get our workload down to a reasonable number of subgroups, I think we're going to be way ahead of the game, if we can, of course. All right, anything further on this document? If not, we'll then go on to the next document we have, which is the subgroup report. And who did that one and will take us through it?
Alan, if
sorry,
I may, Alan, before we move on. I just wanted to maybe have a target in mind for the next draft of that first pass planning, so that we know when we're aiming to share that with the review team and then work towards that goal.
Optimally, I would like to be able to share it with them this week, but if that's not possible based on timing for Catherine and Alice, then obviously we can slip a week on that, but I wouldn't want to go much past that because we are supposed to be at least starting to talk about the work going forward so that we can start doing real work immediately after the Abu Dhabi meeting, I would guess. This is our last meeting before the Abu Dhabi meeting, so if we slip this one, we're really talking about not presenting it until the second week in November. So if we could do something that's a little closer to what Catherine had in mind, and include it in the packet that we send out, even if it's sent out the night before the Thursday meeting, I think that would be an advantage. But obviously, if that's not possible, we will delay. So I'm going to leave it up to Alice and Catherine when they can get a little bit of work done, and use your judgment if you can get something out that you feel comfortable with. And specifically that Catherine feels comfortable with because she's the one who requested it, then fine, let's get it out for this week. Otherwise, it will slip or it will go out after the meeting. Is that okay with everyone?
That sounds good. Thank
okay.
you, Alan.
All right, proposed subgroup report structure.
I can talk to that. Thank you, Jean-Baptiste. Okay, so this subgroup report, so at this stage in the review's life cycle, you've sort of determined that you want to work through sub-teams and have different workforces, to work on the scope. So I think it's important for you to reach on this, on an understanding of what the envision. So this subgroup report is sort of envisioned as a roadmap and guidelines to help the subgroups estimate what is expected from them. And in addition to that, It will also help the subgroups and you ensure there's a consistency across the team. So the shell includes a number of questions that seek to frame the substance that's needed, and it's also a useful checklist to ensure the recommendations that are being produced comply with the SMART objectives that we talked about in Brussels, and also make sure that the recommendations are underpinned with a solid rationale. So I'm not sure if you've all had a chance to, you know, scan through these. Is that the case? Has anyone had a chance to read this?
I've certainly very briefly scanned it. I've got a couple of comments, so I'm willing to kick
off. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah. First of all, this document is presuming there is a problem and that there are recommendations. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. Certainly in the review of the past recommendations, neither of those may be the case. And so I would replace Title IV with, instead of hypothesis problem, I would simply say problem/issues or problem/issue, because we're trying to focus on what is the, what are we talking about? And then it's recommendations, if any, I think. I don't want to set expectations that we have to make recommendations if things are working fine.
That's fair enough, yeah. Okay. Thank you for that, Alan. I'll make the change.
And you know, problems come in various forms, and lack of data could be considered a problem. It just may be an impediment to going forward. It's not really the end. An end problem we're trying to solve, but simply the lack of information. So that's why I would suggest things like a word like issue or instead of just problem, but in addition to it. And I can't say I've really gone any further than look at the overall titles.
Okay, this is helpful. Catherine, Susan. Have you had a chance to read through this document?
Just to be clear, I was offline completely all weekend, and so I'm just trying to start catching up now. And yesterday I was on meetings pretty well start to end. So my apologies for not doing my homework well enough.
No problem. Don't worry, Alan.
Catherine or Susan, to the extent you've looked at this,
I don't have any comments on this yet, I'm afraid.
Okay. Any reason to not send it out to the group to get their comments as well?
I have no problems with sending it out to the group, and I do like your recommendation of changing hypothesis of a problem. So I think it does give it a different sort of viewpoint in the document.
All right. Can we make those changes and then send it out? Again, making it clear, this is a draft for discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. We'll make those changes. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on our agenda is leadership input on effectiveness framework. I'm having a complete mental lapse in knowing what we're talking about.
I think that's an action item from Susan from the last plenary.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay. Sorry.
Considering I missed that call. Lisa did give me a heads up that we needed to discuss the effectiveness framework in the next plenary call. So, and she's got her hand up, so Lisa has more information than I do.
I don't, but I just wanted to set that context. So recall that there had been an action item leading into our face-to-face meeting to define what effectiveness meant for some of the objectives. And Susan had circulated some text on how to determine effectiveness just prior to our first day of our face-to-face. In last plenary call, we discussed really wanting to talk through what effectiveness would mean for this review in advance of sending off groups of three people to scope out the work on each of the objectives. And so, Susan, the ask was for you to lead a discussion on that effectiveness, description of effectiveness that you'd come up with, so that we make sure everyone's on the same page in terms of how effectiveness would apply to this review team's work. Does that help?
Yes. And I can definitely do that on the next plenary call.
So we will resend this out, and Susan will lead a discussion talking about it and getting feedback on it.
So I do have a request for that, though. I actually have to be in the car early that morning, so I was hoping to, if is it possible to focus on this first part of the call?
No problem at all.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. There's always duplications in my time lately.
I have no problem juggling agendas to meet people's needs. I ask for it often enough for myself.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your flexibility.
Anything else? My only comment on this, it's not dissimilar to the previous comment, is this effectiveness, I think, is going to be a quantifiable, a significant job to measure and to try to estimate in some cases, and in other cases, I think we're going to be going by the feeling in our stomachs, when we talk about making who is strategic or changing the reporting structure. I think some of them are going to be more subjective than others. So just to remember, as we're looking at this, there's always an as applicable depending on the details of what it is we're looking at in the particular case. Other than that, I'm fine.
Yeah, and I agree with that, Alan. On some of these things, we're not going to be looking at metrics or monitoring or trend analysis, but it's good to have a process. For example, in the compliance area, some of these might be very on point for that review. So.
Okay, I think we're in agreement, and so that's fine. Next one is briefing on contractual compliance RAA. I'm a little bit confused what the reference to RAA is. I mean, obviously, that's one of the documents that contractual compliance uses, to guide what it can and cannot do and what it should and should not do. It's not the only document they use, but I'm not quite sure. I know what this item is, and I don't remember who asked for it. Does anyone? I think it was Stephanie, but I'm not sure.
Yes.
Go ahead,
Michelle. Yes, that's correct. That was an action item during the face-to-face meeting in Brussels, and there was an action item that the leadership would confirm with Stephanie what was this request of briefing about, to provide you with a bit more details on that.
She sort of commented during the face-to-face meeting that it would be helpful to receive a briefing on that. And since there was no team, as you would say, team approval or anything, we wanted to run this by you and see if you want to proceed with that suggestion or not.
Okay, well, I believe it came from Stephanie. Have we reached out to her and asked her, could she flesh it out with a sentence or two?
Not yet.
Okay.
We can do that.
I mean, certainly a briefing from compliance on their overall workflow and how they handle things, I think would probably be a good thing, because some of us are very familiar with it, and some of us probably have no experience whatsoever. So that's probably a good level set. I'm not quite sure about the reference to RAA, but let's just ask Stephanie. But I would suggest that perhaps a briefing might be good. So let's assume you'll ask her and we'll come back. Hopefully she will either be on the call and report then, or you'll have an answer to report on her behalf by the meeting on Friday, yes. On Thursday.
Okay, we'll take that action item.
Okay. Communicate draft scope identified at face-to-face meeting to the CCNSO. Now that we have something pretty close to final, once you get that version out, I'll send it to Katrina and see if we can get something back from them. So whatever you have ready to send out to the work group, make sure I have a Word document so I can remove comments or things like that if necessary, and send Katrina a clean version. And you can put an action item for me on that. Consensus policy. We did start a discussion last time. I'm not quite sure where we are on that. Susan, you created this document, and you saw my comments, I presume. And I have some concern that what you wrote there implies a veto power, which I think goes against the concept of not everyone needs to agree.
Yeah, I mean, and I didn't put a ton of time into this. I really pulled some things off the internet again, but that wasn't my intention. But I do think that there, sort of having definitions of, you know, we have a true block, or we have, you know, or somebody's like, I cannot live with this. I am going to try my best to block this, whether or not they have the ability to do that or not. Or I'm going to stand aside and say, you know, it doesn't really, I'm fine with this. I don't have an investment in this. I'll just sort of look the other way, or reservations, so I think it's good to sort of characterize the disagreement as we go along. But when it comes down to it, maybe if there's completely disagreement, if you have more than two people out of the 10, if you have three, then do we really have consensus? And can the chair override sort of a higher level of percentage of the group that disagrees? You know, that's something we need to come to agreement on, I think.
I was reacting to your consensus no blocks, which I think does constitute a veto. So that part I don't think is acceptable. I like the idea of quantifying or qualifying your type of disagreement, that is block, stand aside, reservations, or agreement. I do like that. My overall concern is when I mentioned the 80% rule in the face-to-face meeting, I was trying to quantify something which in the sense of the current terms of reference and the GNSO consensus, the concept of consensus that we base it on, there is no percentage. We specifically do not poll people and count votes, but it is a chair's call, and then there's an extensive and multi-layered appeal process that you can go through if people don't agree with the chair. I find that somewhat too elaborate. On the other hand, we either need to give the chair hard rules or give the chair flexibility and then an appeal process. I don't much care which it is. Chris is the one who sort of said we need to quantify it, which does go against the concept of the GNSO and therefore our consensus definition, and I think we need to come to agreement what we're using. I agree it can't be too vague, but the overall process either is quantifiable or is judgment call, and I don't think I'm not sure both of them can coincide. So that's my concern. I don't know where Chris was coming from, but it's in direct conflict with the definition that is in our draft terms of reference. So thus my concern.
So if we don't quantify this, and I'm sorry, I may have jumped the queue too here.
Go ahead.
If we do not quantify this and sort of record consensus and where those on the team stand on a specific recommendation, then we risk at the end of the day having to go back and re-debate and review, at the final, because what happens in the groups I've been on at least is, you sort of come to an agreement and then you move on to the next thing and come to an agreement. And sometimes what you've learned or discussed may change that initial opinion. And what I don't want to do is come to the end of the day and then have to start work all over again, at least on determining consensus. But I don't know how to go at that exactly. But I think we need to record a consensus and any sort of levels of no agreement or not completely agreeing.
I mean, if we follow the rules that are there with the appeal process and whatever, and I'm happy, as I said, to give you an indication of what I will generally use to estimate consensus. But let me give you an example. We have three people on our committee, on our review team, that have some affiliation with law enforcement. What if they are taking a position counter to everyone else in the group? Does that three mean that we do not have consensus and can't go forward at all? Or does it mean, if in GNSO groups we don't count hands, we count hands in relation to who you are there representing? And that's why I think things could be vague in some things. I'm not actually expecting a lot of controversy on most of what we're talking about. So this may be overkill, but I guess we have to be prepared that there will be some controversy and how to handle it. As I said, I can live with almost anything, but I think we need clarity ahead of time so that we know how to handle the situation. There's a discussion going on right now in the CCWG accountability where a few people in one of the subgroups are claiming there was no consensus because they didn't get agreement on the concepts that they wanted to push forward. That's my interpretation, and that alone is controversial. There's no way we can avoid necessarily not having everyone agree, and we certainly will have the ability of having minority reports if it comes down to that.
So I guess from my point of view, I'm not as concerned with how we determine consensus, but that we record consensus. Or we record the, agreement at that date and time.
By record, you mean identify who was agreeing and who wasn't agreeing, if anyone wasn't agreeing?
Yeah, sort of the temperature of the room or if no opposition was stated at that time. I just, see more and more of this going on in the working groups I'm in where you think, okay, we can move on from this because everybody's on the same page and we have consensus, and then it gets reopened again. And I just think that if there's an accountability mechanism for the agreements that we come to in the in our discussion, then it will make for a shorter review team and a smoother path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recall the whole
issue. Susan.
The whole issue came up when we did a consensus call on whether to include some issue. I don't remember what it was. And the numbers were something like 7 decided not to include it, or 8, oh, I don't remember, whatever. There was a consensus not to include it. Then Volker said, but the optics of us not including it are bad. In other words, on the merits we shouldn't include it, but maybe we want to because of how it will be perceived. And we reversed the decision, and Chris took great offense to the fact that that was done and it shouldn't have been. I thought that was adding a new issue to be considered, and that changed the overall consensus. So I didn't think that was problematic, but that was the thing that triggered the discussion on how do we define consensus.
Yeah, Lisa just said in the chat it was on safeguarding data. I think she's right. And I think I couldn't agree more with Susan. I mean, if we don't record these decisions, then we just keep coming back to them. And we've had a number of those situations already, just on the procedural points that we've covered as a review team, where I thought we were done with something, and then we have the same discussion again on the next plenary call. And I fully agree with Susan that that's not a good use of everybody's time. And so coming back to the last plenary call, Susan, when you were not around, I mean, one of the points that was discussed was that there could be a two-step approach, that first of all, we look for consensus, and that doesn't necessarily have to be a question of percentages. It's more something where we don't have anybody who has major issues. You know, I mean, also using your, I think, very helpful sort of ways of determining what it means to have a certain position on a decision. And then only if that failed, we could consider using majority vote, which is something that's also envisaged in the bylaws as part of the way that review teams operate. And at that point, we would record percentages. And then we can still see, I mean, as Chris was saying, we cannot really do recommendations with minority votes because it's not going to be something that the board can decide for us. So if we cannot make a strong recommendation, we might still just forego making one altogether, but to sort of get a feel for the room, or at least to have a decision point, I think would be very helpful. And then if it's just majority, if we cannot achieve consensus, we can still come back to it at a later point and see whether we can, you know, still come to some recommendation on the issue if we think it's important. And if not, then we just don't do something on that issue. But I fully agree with Susan. I think we should systematically record our decisions on things, even on everything now relating to scope and so on, as we have done for some issues, but I believe not for all, and then consider them closed and make sure that everybody's aware that they've been closed.
Thank you, Catherine. 2 points. Number one, I think staff is pretty good about identifying consensus, and if we've missed a couple of places, then, you know, we simply need to make sure we do it properly. So I don't think there's any issue about recording it. We are going to be in a world where, you know, based on new information, we may reopen a discussion for some valid reason. And I don't think we want to preclude the possibility of that. But, you know, we shouldn't re-legislate everything over and over again. But if information has changed, if there is something substantive that is different, I think we must be able to do it. We don't want to redo it over and over again just because one person didn't agree with the outcome, though.
I fully agree with you, Alan. I mean, it's not about doing it over and over. In fact, that's what I want to avoid. But just, you know, this conversation on RDAP as a protocol, I think we had that at least 4 times between, you know, and I don't think it's, I'm not saying that ICANN staff is not recording this properly. That's not my point. I think it's that we also need to take the time to acknowledge, okay, we've reached consensus on something, unless somebody objects now, we will close this point and move on from it. And I think that's something beyond the recording. That's a step that we need to take as leadership, I would assume. You know, I don't have experience on these types of reviews, but I think somebody needs to step in and say, hang on, you know, are we taking a decision on this? Okay, let's close this point and move on. And then we move on to something different, and then it's recorded. And I'm not taking any issue with the fact whether or not ICANN is recording this properly. I'm sure they are.
Okay. My only concern is we have had a number of issues already, and I don't know whether we're going to have many more going forward, where one person says something, everybody else, almost everybody else is completely silent. And that ends up, and RDAP is the example of should we be evaluating RDAP or not, was an issue that a small number of people put forward. And, you know, it almost got in as a scope item, which I think would have been a huge mistake. And given the experience with the board and the SSR review, where the board is looking at this at these terms of reference and scope issues, I think that would have been a particular mistake. So that may be one which we reopened at my request because of that. But I think we need to get people active and make sure that if we reach consensus, it's because people believe it. That's why I like Susan's categorization. You know, I object to the no blocks under consensus, but I like the categorization of, we shouldn't make a decision because most people just don't care at all and one person is adamant, because I think that can push the review in ways that direct the review in ways that we don't want it to be directed by a single person. We have a cue. Susan.
Go ahead, Catherine. Go ahead and finish.
Oh, sorry. No, it's just I totally agree, and I think if we make it transparent that we're taking a decision on something, then people would be forced to basically have an opinion if they want to have one, because otherwise it would be too late. And maybe that's also a way of engaging the silent majority on some of these issues, is to basically say, okay, if nobody has any objections, then we consider this point closed, or, you know, we will take a decision on this at the next meeting, and if you give me some time to think about it, but then if we hear nothing from you, we consider that this point is done. You know, and I do agree with Susan that, I mean, and I think with what you're saying, is that in essence, we need to move forward on this. And just one quick point on these 80%, I think one point that was discussed at the Brussels meeting was that this would avoid outvoting any individual group of three. So that indeed there could be a situation where the three of us from the law enforcement side block consensus. That doesn't mean there could not be a majority against us, of course. And I'm done. Thanks, Susan.
No problem, Catherine. So I would like to take it almost a step farther than, oh, do you have any objections? I would prefer to go around the room and say, you know, Susan, do you agree with this or not? Yes, she agrees. You know, Alan, Catherine, and we literally do a check mark that this is agreed. So somebody can't be sitting there and just sort of go, oh, not paying attention, and go, yeah, I agree with that, and then wake up later and go, no, I don't agree with that. Now, if somebody says they agree and come back 3 or 4 months later with a very compelling argument, then, yeah, we can talk about it. But what I don't want to have happen is somebody to go along the whole time agreeing, and then say, no, I don't agree with anything we've agreed to that this team thinks we've agreed to in the last 6 months. And I just think it's just a helpful vehicle to get people to commit.
Thank you, Susan. Two comments. First of all, I think we can readily expect what you just described to happen. I've seen it in enough other groups, so as much as we try, it's going to happen anyway, but I agree with you that if we can have a mechanism to minimize the impact of that happening, that would be nice. I do, what you are describing going around the room, however, is taking a poll, and there are two problems with that. Number one is just the fact that we often have people missing from meetings, and therefore that becomes a little bit more difficult to do. And the second is our current terms of reference explicitly say that is not how we're going to make decisions. Now, I'm happy striking that clause from the terms of reference. And if we feel comfortable with that as a methodology, I think that's within our ability to adopt it. I just don't want to be called out afterwards of saying we're using a poll method where the terms of reference explicitly say that should be used only in very rare and exceptional circumstances. So just to have clarity on that. The second issue is Catherine has made reference a number of times to majority. And it is not in the current multi-stakeholder version of consensus we're talking about, it is very much not just majority. And I think we have to be really careful about using that word. If we are really saying majority rules if we can't get consensus, then that's setting a different bar, and I don't think it's a bar that's going to pass scrutiny within our overall community. Susan.
So not to belabor the point, but can we look at this as not a poll that the decision was made and just a recording that everybody in the room has verbally confirmed that that is their, you know, understanding? So the decision has already been made, whether it be, you know, by consensus or not, or, you know, the chair's decision-making power, but that at that point in time, there's no violent opposition to it or something. I don't know.
Well,
I may be asking for something that doesn't work.
Yeah. I think we can have violent opposition by a small number of people who may well submit a minority report on the issue. Obviously, if one person is strongly objecting, the others have to feel strong enough about it in the other directions to push forward with it.
I agree.
All right, how do we go forward on this? I'm not quite sure. We started off saying Susan's going to lead us through a discussion. I'm not sure we understand it well enough. And at the very least, we need a let's take a poll of this group. Do we want to do essentially polls to canvas everyone, or do we want to have a more touchy-feely, the chair judges consensus based on hearing what people have said on the subject matter? And I'm not trying to push for one or the other, but I think it's got to be one or the other.
Just to clarify, I was leading a discussion on effectiveness, but not on the consensus. I'll lead that discussion, but I don't think that was.
Oh, that's true. Sorry, I'm sorry. You're
yeah.
right.
No, I just want to be sure.
You're the expression is I misspoke.
Yeah.
Do among the leadership? Do we want to go by the chair's discretion on consensus, which is then appealable? If it's important enough, or do we want to try to use a poll, or do we want the chair to try to gauge consensus based on polls, but leave it up to the chair to make the statement because of voting blocks, as it were, and things like that?
This is Catherine.
Jean-Baptiste, hand up. So after Catherine.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, Catherine. We'll hear you first.
I'm sorry. I'm fine with the touchy-feely approach when it's pretty clear. So I don't think we systematically would need to do this, but I really like Susan's idea because I think it basically avoids the situation where we have the impression that a decision was taken just because one member was pushing for it and everybody else hadn't read the documents or something. I'm exaggerating, but, you know, just to also cover those cases, which I'm sure do happen. So that would avoid that because it makes people take responsibility for their work on this group, and that I like. So, you know, maybe for every case where it's not completely clear or if we want to be on the safe side for every case, we can do this sort of poll. And just on the majority, I'm not making this up. This is in the bylaws. I just looked at it again, and it says explicitly that in the event a consensus cannot be found among the members or of a review team, a majority vote of the members may be taken. It's section, I mean, I'll send you the link if you want, something C-triple-I.
Okay, that's interesting. I was not aware of that. Jean-Baptiste's hand is up because he's trying to remind us that our hour is almost up and I have another meeting. I can go a few minutes over on this if necessary. I don't think we have enough closure at this point, and I would suggest that we try to come up with a single document that reflects what we have been discussing today. And I will volunteer to try to draft something, not pretending. I think I've not really knowing if I've got it correct or not, but I'll draft something else for our discussion. And based on Susan's categorization, but then a closer to what we've been talking about to actually judge consensus or not. And if you can put an action item on for me on that, but it won't be done for this Thursday, so. Lisa, go ahead.
I'll be brief. There is a section in the terms of reference on consensus, and so it might be helpful to, as you draft your solution, to do that as edits on the existing section. If that section is not going to work at all, then we'll replace it. But if what we're doing is actually tweaking it, if you frame your suggestion in that way, it'll move us forward faster.
I will try, but I won't make a promise. But noted. It may well be that what I'm describing is the unwritten part, but that we have an agreed to, but it's not necessarily in our formal terms of reference. But let me give it a try. Where are we on the agenda? Because we are running out of time. Consensus policy, confirm action items, and AOB. So.
Yes, and there is one last input later on, which is on the work plan. So there was the work plan was presented on the last plenary call, and just wanted to have your views on what is needed, and whether this can be approved, or if you feel some more input is needed from us, or more information just to clarify things.
Okay, let number one, we'll take consensus policy off the agenda for the plenary call. And on the work plan, I would replace it with work plan, and I will send out a message reminding people that they're supposed to be commenting or looking at the work plan and reminding them of what I raised as my concerns, and if anyone else shares them, they should speak up, because this is making commitments, and we need to know if people feel comfortable with it. So I'll send out a message on that, and if you could add it into the agenda so that we have, we can just at least briefly mention it during that call.
Yes, I just made the change.
Yeah. Anything else, folks?
So can the plenary call that is appearing in the Adobe Connect can go out to the review team?
Yes, certainly.
Okay, perfect. Under AOB, there were two questions. First one is on the leadership call that is scheduled next Monday. There is no leadership call scheduled right now next Monday, but we wanted to know whether you feel that we need to have a discussion next Monday prior to ICANN 60.
I don't think so. Since we have no formal meeting at ICANN 60, I don't think we need a leadership call next week, unless anyone else feels determined to have yet another call on their agenda.
Thanks for the information.
I don't hear anyone yelling and screaming for one.
And the second thing, our communications department liaised with me to ask you whether one of you or two of you could, at ICANN 60, quickly present in 2 or 3 minutes on the video the review team and the key issues of the RDS review team. So this is not something that will take a lot of time, But they just wanted to know whether you would be available to do that. There are several time slots that I can provide you if you're interested. And this video will be posted on the main page of the wiki. And this is something that will be done as well for the reviews. So I just wanted to know whether you would be interested, so that I can share the available time slots and move forward on that.
I have no problem with it. If no one else wants to do it, I'll do it. But if anyone else would like to step forward, then feel free. I don't see anyone else's hands. So Jean-Baptiste, assume I'll do it if no one else wants to, but maybe check with Susan and Catherine prior to the meeting and see if anyone has a desire to be on camera.
Sure.
Okay. Anything else? Then I will call this meeting to an end. Thank you all. And see you on Thursday morning or whatever, Thursday, whatever it is where you're in your part of the world.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye.